We're continuing our series on BASF Great Growers and following the growers through the season. A crazy season has been for sure. With me is Kip Tom of Tom Farms in Indiana. And Kip, last time we talked to you, you weren't quite done with harvest, but I'm sure you're done now, right?
No, we're not. We're not. You know, but that's a good thing, right? I mean, We're maximizing the use of our equipment, and we had higher yields than we expected. The story I'd like to tell you is this. When it was the beginning of July, we had to make a decision. Do we or don't we apply a headline fungicide application to our corn? We had, between April 1st and August 30th, we received somewhere around 9 inches of rainfall. Most of that came at the end of the season, some at the very beginning. So we were in a tough crop environment. So we thought, you know, here we are. We're looking at some possibly very low yields. Do we go ahead and hire an aerial applicator to come in and put on headline fungicide? Well, we did it, and we left some test strips. I can tell you this. It doesn't matter whether it's a low-yield environment or a high-yield environment. It paid its way. So we will continue to use that in the future, no matter what the weather that Mother Nature gives us to deal with.
Wow, that is a good story. Now, because it's all about plant health, and you really needed that help with plant health this year. Now, your farm is very spread out. How did the yields work in different areas? Did you see a lot of difference?
We've seen some difference. I mean, we operate in about 7 counties in northern Indiana, about 100 miles southeast of Chicago. The further west we went, the better yields we had because we had a little more rainfall in that early July time frame. But as you proceeded east and you look at the Palmer Drought Index maps, we were in it. We were in the heart of that area. In fact, the Weather Channel came out one day and reported a story on us. So we did see a little variation in yield, but we're about 50% irrigated. But even that was a challenge this year. When we install or design an irrigation system, we design it to get some supplemental rainfall along the way during the growing season. Well, this year we did. We were irrigating in an environment somewhat similar to probably Tucson, Arizona. So it was really a challenging year, even for the irrigated corn. But nonetheless, we're ending up with much better yields than we anticipated back in July. Soybeans, same story when we look at taking care of the soybeans using fungicide and insecticides. We were in early July, in fact, and same situation. Here these beans were at R3, R4, barely knee-high, and we were saying, boy, do we want to spend the money on a fungicide treatment? The main growing area where we had these soybeans, and they were planted in April, after we applied to fungicide, we recognized an average yield of 67 bushel per acre. In that area, we had around 4,000 acres of beans. So, again, it paid its way. We left check strips to make sure that we could document it. So we know it's something that's a part of our regimen on our farm.
What about weed control this year?
Weed control is a challenge. Anytime you get temperatures like what we had, you get a lot of these weeds hardening off like they did. It was difficult to control. I'm looking more longer term, and the big concern I got is resistance to glyphosate. It happens with all chemistries. It happens with all the antibiotics we take as human beings, too. So it's just a natural occurring event that we have to learn how to deal with. And, you know, I know BASF and other companies are coming out with some technologies that we need to have as a tool on our farm to make sure this resistance doesn't overtake the yields that we have to provide on our farms to help feed that growing global population.
So you're talking specifically about the dicamba tolerance that's coming up, right?
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. We all know that dicamba has been around for a number of years, and it's one of the chemistries that at the farm has had very little resistance to it. So we really look forward to seeing that technology come to the marketplace because we need it. I mean, we're seeing weed resistance pop up clear up in Michigan. Give you an example. A dairy farmer up there buys cottonseed out of the south. Well, if they got some resistant weeds in that cottonseed, it's going to move around. So, you know, we can get Palmer amaranth and some other weeds that typically we haven't had to deal battle with in the Midwest. They're here now.
Yeah.
So the sooner the better.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask that. Dr. Dan Westberg with BASF said that you just found Palmer amaranth in Ohio and Indiana that you didn't have before, and that's how it got in there was cottonseed, right?
Exactly. But I think one of the biggest things, I think what has probably been slowing it down, has been concerns about within the industry and some of those on the edges of it about some of the stewardship issues. Well, I believe today producers are much better at managing the way they take care of their crops. the way they apply pesticides and making sure that they're good community stewards in the products they apply to make sure they don't impact other people and other crops. So this is different than where we were 10, 20 years ago. We have the tools to work with, and I believe there's a lot of people who are very professional in the way they apply chemistry. So, again, we really look forward to it, and it can't come soon enough.
Well, and BASF is addressing that as well with their little workshops that they do for sprayers to learn a little bit more about how to make sure that the chemicals they apply are actually getting on their crop and not anywhere else, right?
Absolutely right. You know, and the thing is, we got to look at agriculture. We're all partners. And if someone else suffers along the way, it's not good for any of us in the industry. So I applaud companies like BASF that go out here, take the effort, invest dollars and talent and resources to make sure that the people who are using their products have the right information to make sure they do it correctly.
Now, one of the things that's important is planning. And I know you guys try to make a plan and stick to it, but like this year you had to adapt and had to make some changes. But let's look ahead to 2013. And what are you looking at for next year and preparing for the next crop?
Well, we move on. You know, we can all talk about the challenges we faced here in 2012, but the reality is we got to stick to our game plan. And we've had nationally 3 years of below trend line yields on corn. You could say there that can't happen again. Well, it could, but we've got options to deal with it if that happens. But right now, we're going for a bumper crop, and we're going to make sure that we use all the resources we have available to us to make sure we produce that bumper crop.
All right, great. Well, it's always good to talk to you, Kip. It's been great to talk to you all year following your crop during 2012. And that's our great grower report here with Kip Tom. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.